Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Mike Davis joins the program for the latest with Michael Cohen. Why I think the vaccine news, all this vaccine revelations, is all a plot to go after Trump and involves RFK. Update from Israel and who I think is the new front runner for the vice president. And I want your thoughts on that. Listen to that. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com, your reaction, and subscribe to this episode and text it to your friends. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com and become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
You know, there's a trial going on in New York City. You wouldn't know it if you looked at the poll numbers or how Joe Biden is acting. Their lawfare is not working. In fact, it's making them even more unpopular. Joining us now is Mike Davis regarding some breaking news about Michael Cohen, who's been caught lying again. And he's been spending a lot of time on TikTok doing weird stuff there. Mike Davis joins the program. Mike, walk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Michael Cohen is an utter train wreck for this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg. Not only is he a convicted serial perjurer, a disbarred attorney, a convicted felon, now we're learning he may have stolen money. I mean, from President Trump, his client. This is this just goes from very bad to very worse for this prosecution. Unfortunately, Charlie, this process is so rigged in New York with this Soros-funded Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg campaigning on the fact that he's going to get Trump. He brought in Matthew Colangelo, this number three senior political appointee in the Biden Justice Department, a former Obama political operative, a former DNC political consultant. They're in front of this Democrat Manhattan judge, Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden and another anti-Trump cause in 2020. Which got him admonished by the judicial council in New York. More problematically, his daughter, his adult daughter, Lauren Merchan, is raising millions of dollars off of this unprecedented criminal prosecution of a former and likely future president. That requires Judge Merchan's recusal under New York statute. He didn't recuse. Instead, he punished Trump by expanding the gag order. President Trump can't even mention Colangelo or Lauren Merchan. Trump can't respond to Stormy Daniels, this porn star who's changed her story several times and is cashing in on this criminal trial with her penned tweet, her penned porn site on Twitter. And then you have Michael Cohen, who's cashing in on TikTok. Trump can't even talk about the facts that this jury pool voted 87% for Biden. That will get Trump thrown in jail, according to this unconstitutional gag order. And then on top of that, not only is the jury pool 87% for Biden, Colangelo and Bragg and Judge Mershon took the next step of weeding out the very few people in Manhattan who follow Trump on social media, but they didn't weed out the people who follow Biden on social media. So even though this is a completely BS case against Trump, they haven't even told Trump what the legal allegations are against him. In week five of this trial, how can a criminal defendant defend himself in a criminal trial if he doesn't even know what the legal allegations are? They haven't told Trump what the legal allegations are. But even with this worst case imaginable for these Democrats, I still think this biased, rigged jury is going to find Trump guilty, and this corrupt judge is going to convict him and try to put him in prison.
So Mike, help me understand this. And I was trying to explain this to a friend on the phone the other day. What is the crime exactly? Because the crime, they can't even specify for it to come up to this level. I know it's a silly question, but Mike Davis, what is the crime here?
Well, the crime, according to these Biden Democrats, is Trump is running for president again in 2024. But they came up with this convoluted legal argument. They're saying that President Trump had some sort of an encounter with Stormy Daniels back in 2006, but Stormy Daniels can't remember because she blacked out. I mean, she's a porn star, but somehow she blacked out with an encounter for President Trump because it was so unusual for her, which is just total nonsense. So she had this encounter in 2006. Then in 2017, Michael Cohen, who was Trump's attorney at the time, settled her nuisance claim in 2017, and Trump put it in his private books in 2017 as a legal expense. Somehow that 2017 booking of that legal expense in Trump's private books was somehow a campaign finance violation, because somehow in 2017 it influenced the campaign in 2016. And even though that would have been at best a bookkeeping misdemeanor, it's not a bookkeeping misdemeanor, but they're trying to say that a lawyer settling a nuisance claim is not a legal expense. I've been a lawyer for nearly 20 years. I don't know what else you would call it, but let's just play along with their BS theory. At best, that would be a bookkeeping misdemeanor in New York. It's not even a bookkeeping misdemeanor. It's a legal expense, and it's in Trump's private books, not his business books. But then they're trying to say that because there was another crime that they haven't specified yet, that those misdemeanors from 2017 where the statute of limitations has long since passed, so they're time barred, somehow have morphed into 34 felonies under New York statute. The zombie case has morphed into 34 felonies. This is a zombie case that was passed over by the prior Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Alvin Bragg himself, who campaigned on getting Trump. Alvin Bragg didn't even bring these charges, even though he campaigned on getting Trump, until Matthew Colangelo got deployed from the Biden Justice Department to bring this zombie case. So now we have 34 felonies against Trump. The first criminal charges ever against a former president. They waited 7 years to bring these, and they waited till the middle of the presidential campaign season. So Trump is stuck in a courtroom in New York for 2 months instead of on the campaign trail, because President Biden can't walk up and down Air Force One stairs.
So Mike, I don't think this is working for them in the public eye. It doesn't seem as if this is popular. It seems that people can't track it. In fact, Trump is only getting more popular. He's getting even more appeal and a bigger following because of all of this. Can you also just add some detail? I was told that the prosecution, the witnesses that they called to the stand, it did not go very well for them at all. Can you just give us an update on kind of how they even think this is going? And by the way, I'm told that summation arguments are not going to begin until next week. Is that correct?
That sounds right. I think they're trying to drag this out as long as they can, because they thought that getting Trump stuck in this dingy Manhattan courtroom would be good politically for Biden. But as you said, Charlie, this is backfiring, and it's backfiring because the American people understand that this is a BS case, and this is what you do in third world Marxist hellholes like Zimbabwe. You don't do this in the United States. You don't have these Democrat prosecutors and judges and witnesses in these Democrat hellholes of New York, D.C., and Atlanta pick our next president. The American people pick the next president. And I think the American people are very angry what is happening, particularly among young black males, right, where you're seeing President Biden's support among that key constituency that generally votes 95% for Democrat. The floor is falling out for Joe Biden. And I think this lawfare is a big part of it, right? And so we have, look what we have for these witnesses. Who are their key witnesses? You have Stormy Daniels, a porn star, right, who's a bimbo porn star who has changed her story several times. She wrote a letter in 2018 saying this didn't happen. And then she testified on the stand that she hated President Trump. I mean, you can't get a worse witness. Someone who's changed her story several times, testified that she has a motive because she hates President Trump, and she's making money by peddling her porn site on Twitter as we speak. Then we have Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, again, disbarred attorney, a disgraced serial perjurer, convicted felon. Now we're learning that he embezzled from Trump or stole from Trump, and he's changed his story several times. He hates Trump. He's trying to make money off of Trump, and maybe he has a motive to lie as well, because not only does he hate Trump, there was also pressure on him that apparently this prosecutor in Manhattan or the U.S. Attorney's Office was going to go after not only Michael Cohen, but his family, his spouse, for potential crimes. And so Michael Cohen has the incentive to play ball. This is a bogus trial. This is a completely bogus trial, because at the end of the day, it's not a crime for a businessman to settle a nuisance claim with a non-disclosure agreement or hush money or whatever you want to call it. That happens routinely. I would be in prison right now for aiding and abetting a crime if that were illegal.
All right, I need to tell you guys about Strong Cell. It's amazing. With nearly a million units bought by you, it is more clear than ever that Strong Cell works. It works to combat fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, skin issues, and constant sickness. I've been taking it personally for over a year now, and it's changed my life. I take it in the morning with breakfast, and it helps me with natural energy so I don't have that afternoon crash. And it gives me the clarity of mind to do all that I do every day, which is a lot. If you're tired of feeling tired, struggling with memory, or constantly getting sick, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I love this product because it has NAD. By the way, fact check me on this. Go do your own research on NADH, especially if it's mixed with CoQ10 and marine collagen. Strong Cell uses a proprietary delivery of NADH to make sure it goes straight to your cells to help your mitochondria. And since there are cells in every area of your body, then healthier cells equals a healthier you. The amount of people that use Strong Cell now, thanks to us, is remarkable. Over 1 million units sold. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Check it out. Fact check me. Oh, Charlie's just selling me a product. Okay, maybe you don't want more mental acuity. People say, Charlie, how do you do what you do? Maybe it's the NAD that I take. It's changed the lives of many Kirk listeners. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie and use my discount code Charlie to get 20% off your order. This is an emerging body of work and science that is showing that NAD and NADH really might be what your body needs in this contaminated, polluted, and poisoned world. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use special discount code Charlie at checkout to get a special 20% off just for Kirk listeners. strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out right now.
Were there issues with the vaccines when you've immunized millions, close to billions of people? Tracking that will give us critical information, because what I love that you had Sean on, and he made the point, a lot of his symptoms are similar to long COVID symptoms. Well, that makes total sense. That happens often with immunizations. Well, that's why we need all the people to come forward that have had reactions, because I'm not sure all of them have been reported. Do I think it's millions? No. Could it be thousands? Yes. But there's millions of people with long COVID.
Hold on a second here. What's going on? That is Scarf Woman, part of the Avenger squad that took over the government. You had that overweight guy, Redfield. He You had Fauci, who should be in Gitmo, and then Scarf Lady, and a couple other people. And it was like the Avengers team that basically took over the entire federal government and the country for a whole year. And that they were, you want to talk about who actually was calling the shots? She was part of the, one of the members of the cabal. Something very bizarre is going on. New York Times recently ran a piece. We can maybe get a screenshot of the piece. And it caught my attention. I read the New York Times every day. And they're not as bad as they used to be. And they're not as bad as other, but they're still awful, obviously. But it's where elite opinion is largely formed. New York Times last week. The side effects of COVID vaccines. Second piece. Thousands believe COVID vaccines harm them. Is anyone listening? All vaccines have at least some side effects, but people who say they were injured by the COVID vaccine believe their cases have been ignored. In addition, Chris Cuomo comes out and says that he's vaccine injured. Dr. Redfield has come out and has said that young people have been injured by the vaccine. What's going on here? It is very clear, whether intentional or unintentional, the table is being set to blame Donald Trump for the vaccine, to have some of his supporters jump into the political camp of RFK. That's what this is all about. This is not a sudden vaccine come to Jesus moment. This is not a sudden confessional that is happening because people feel bad. This is a political strategy to try and blame Operation Warp Speed and try to put all of this on Trump to try and chip away some of his support into the RFK camp. If there's one issue that RFK has been consistent on, it is certainly the COVID vaccine pharmaceutical industrial complex issue. And it is very clear that these confessions, they're not legitimate. They're political in nature. And they're saying, oh, yes, you know, the vaccine could harm a lot of people. And well, I'm sorry, I thought it was safe and effective. And that if you dared even say that years ago, and that's what's so important. None of this is news. We've been talking about myocarditis and pericarditis. I have said this before and I'll repeat it. Donald Trump is going to be baited in the debate with Joe Biden about the vaccine. Donald Trump should answer like this. Donald Trump should say, let me tell you what. The country was in crisis. I was surrounded by pharmaceutical companies that I thought were telling the truth. They presented something that I thought was a solution, but they lied to me no different than how the intel agencies have lied to me before. And when I'm president, day one, we are going to have a Church and Pike style committee to investigate Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, to find out what actually happened during Operation Warp Speed. Some people's lives were saved. Some people have been damaged by it. It is not what I was told it was going to be because it was not the same type of vaccine that I grew up and knew. That's all he has to say. He has to say that he was lied to by these pharmaceutical companies, that he was lied to by the cabal that was around him, and throw Birx under the bus, throw Fauci under the bus. These are bad people. But this is not some sort of organic movement. Like, oh, all of a sudden we're going to have some sort of an apology to her. Do you notice no one is apologizing and they're barely even acknowledging? Well, what's exactly going on here? They want to hurt Trump because he's up significantly in the polls and Joe Biden agrees. So they're deploying the anti-COVID vaccine chatter into the mainstream, whether intentional or unintentional. And I listened to a couple of podcasts this weekend. I listened to Aaron Rodgers on Tucker Carlson and I listened to Dave Smith on Tucker Carlson. There is a legitimate 30 to 50 year old male issue that Donald Trump is going to run into. These are winnable Trump voters that are going to go into the RFK camp because of the COVID issue. And the longer they can keep the COVID vaccine issue alive, the better chance they are to chip away at Donald Trump's base and to try to help Joe Biden, not by transferring those votes to Biden, but by subtracting a vote from Donald Trump's category. This is not news around the vaccine. This is a political strategy. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. A movement to change how we elect our president is growing, led by radical left-wing activists who don't think their side should ever have to lose the presidency again. It seeks to do away with the Electoral College as devised by the framers of our Constitution. Today, 18 states have signed on to overhaul how presidents are elected. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College are conducting a national survey on presidential selection. Hearing directly from informed patriots like you is critical. So please take their national survey on presidential selection today at charlieforhillsdale.com. I'm a huge fan of Hillsdale College. Their students are at the top, and they're receiving the best educational available today. It's America's greatest college, period. Hillsdale's educational outreach program on behalf of Liberty are just tremendous. I've taken so many of their online courses. I plan to complete them all. Now you can help Hillsdale understand the views of mainstream Americans on the critical issue of presidential selection, which will help Hillsdale in its future work defending Liberty. Visit charlieforhillsdale.com to start your national survey on presidential selection, charlieforhillsdale.com. I want to read one of these emails. It's a beautiful email from Barb. I love this. Hi, Charlie. Congrats on the birth of your blessed son. We were unable to have our children. So after 13 years, we decided that if we were going to have a family, adoption was the only way. Both political parties never want to mention this. They only want to talk about abortion. God sent us on this path, and it gave us two babies as infants to give us a family. Both of our children are so thankful that they were not aborted, and we are too. May you and your wife have a safe and wonderful journey to your babies. Barb, I love that email. God bless you. And that is just, that's the most beautiful thing, that God's plan was not for you to have your own biological children. And so you adopted these two babies, and they have a wonderful life. I just think that's amazing. So thank you for that. And God has a plan for all of us. Okay, there has been some, let's just say, significant news over the weekend. What happened regarding the Iranian president. So joining us now is Fleur Hassam Nahum. She is currently serving as Israel's Special Foreign Ministry Envoy and former deputy mayor of Jerusalem, one of my favorite cities on the planet and the rightful capital of Israel. She's also the co-founder of the UAE Israel Business Council. Fleur, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking time.
Charlie, thank you so much. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. So thank you. Appreciate that. So update us what happened this last weekend. I was quite busy. I know a lot of our fellow, my fellow Americans were as well. What was the significance of this? Who died? Who is responsible? Do we know who's responsible? Tell us and walk us through it, please.
So there was a helicopter crash, which at the beginning they called a hard landing. Talk about UFO, you know, making something seem like something else. So they called it a hard landing. The helicopter crashed with five of the top Iranian leaders, including Raisi, who's essentially like the prime minister. They call him the president. He is not the top of the pile. The top of the pile is Khamenei, who is the supreme leader. He's the guy who calls the shots, but this guy is like his COO, his operations person, who actually runs the whole country, along with his foreign minister and another few very important top echelon leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And so, you know, nobody's crying about this because we're talking about really bad guys. Raisi used to be the head of the judiciary in Iran, and he sent about 30,000 people to their deaths, including many women for showing a little strand of hair and all sorts of other extremely repressive measures. He was a very bad guy. And in Iran, there are quiet celebrations of the fact that he died. Many people whose families died in the hands of who they call the Butcher of Tehran. That was his nickname, the Butcher of Tehran. The question is, does this change anything? Is this going to collapse the Islamic Republic of Iran? And unfortunately, I think there'll be a little bit of temporary chaos. But unfortunately, the supreme leader, Khamenei, is still in charge. I mean, he's 85 years old, but he's still in charge, and he's a really, really bad guy.
No, he's terrible. And the I don't see any sort of adjustment from the Iranian regime, especially in the last couple of weeks. This is obviously going to be destabilizing. Can you speak to the current wars that, and I say plural, let's say fronts that Israel is fighting? Hezbollah, what's happening in Gaza, and then, of course, this kind of mounting threat against Iran and Iran funding proxies. It is hard for us to get accurate and legitimate information here. What is going on the ground? Give us an update of these different theaters of war that Israel is currently engaged in.
So let me just give you the entire context. And the context is this. Iran is the funder and the facilitator and the trainer of all the different Islamic jihadi proxies that are causing all the war, the bloodshed, the bloodshed in the region. So who are they? So you have Hamas, who, as you know, started a massacre with, they massacred Israelis on October 7th, the worst atrocity of Jews since the Holocaust. They fund Hezbollah. Hezbollah are the terrorist group who have political legitimacy in Lebanon, who are basically, since the 9th of October, throwing rockets, so much so that 150,000 people from the north of Israel, 10 kilometers from the border with Lebanon, have had to evacuate. We have no, you know, everybody talks about displacement in Gaza. Nobody talks about displacement in Israel. And in Israel, we have about 100,000 people who've been displaced from the north because they are being shelled every single day by Hezbollah, who are directly funded and trained by Iran. They've destroyed Lebanon through Hezbollah. They've completely destroyed Syria because the Iran came in to help Assad, who killed 500,000 of his own people, including through chemical attack. And so they've been funding and they've essentially destroyed any type of autonomy that Syria ever had. They're funding the Houthis, who have killed American servicemen and women. They have bases in Iraq, which is a place where Iraq attacks the rest of the region. And they've also involved in some ways with the Taliban. So basically, all of the major Islamic jihadi fundamentalist elements are funded, encouraged, and trained by Iran. So Iran is essentially the head of the snake. That's what's going on here. And you have a situation where the world are basically appeasing Iran instead of dealing with Iran and working towards regime change, which essentially will solve the entire problems of the Middle East.
So, Fleur, help me understand this. So the American government just came out, the State Department just sends its condolences to the Islamic regime after the death of this butcher, Raisi. I look at this from a domestic political angle. Joe Biden is very worried that he's going to lose political power soon, and he's worried about Arab voters in Michigan. In Israel, do you guys feel as if America has your back, or is it Joe Biden playing both sides? It seems as if he talks a good game, but he's trying to prevent your rightful invasion of Rafah and hold back weapons. He's now sending condolences to this maniac in Tehran. Do you believe that Joe Biden has Israel's back?
Well, you know, I think Joe Biden is talking from two sides of his mouth, as we say, right? So on the one hand, he's provided unprecedented military aid to Israel. He came here, the first ever American president to come to Israel at the beginning, in the middle of a terrible war. Like I said, the aid has been unprecedented. But on the other side, for whatever reasons he has, and I try not to get involved in other people's domestic political issues, he's somehow trying to tie Israel's hand behind our backs. But what I don't know whether he realizes or he doesn't realize, he's basically giving a shot in the arm to all of those terrorists that are looking at what's going on, America trying to tie Israel's back and saying, well, we don't have to make a deal to release the hostages because we have a default temporary ceasefire because Biden is not letting Israel go in and attack Rafah. Now, why do we want to go to Rafah? What is Rafah? Because that's where Sinwar is. Sinwar is our Osama bin Laden. He's in Rafah. Our hostages are in Rafah. The last four battalions of terrorists, Hamas, are in Rafah. So on the one hand, Biden wants us to win the war. He says he wants us to eliminate Hamas, who are a clear and present danger to Israel. They're an existential threat to Israel. But on the other hand, he's tying our hands behind our back and saying, no, don't go too far.
Yeah, it is really it's something to witness here that is quite remarkable. Final thoughts here, Fleur. What do you anticipate an invasion of Rafah sometime soon? I also want to talk about the ICC. And I know that there's a lot of news there. So can you just walk us through the latest with the ICC, the International Criminal Court?
So just last point on Rafah, we are going into Rafah. We started doing surgical attacks. We've moved a million people out of Rafah. What people said it was impossible to do, we've done it because Israel does not want to harm innocent civilians. We have the lowest casualty per terrorist in the last 100 years of warfare. And yet this kind of goes into your question about the ICC. The ICC has this evening or this afternoon put out a request to their court for an arrest warrant on Sinwar, who is our Osama bin Laden, and on our Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and our Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. Now, this is honestly a despicable move by the ICC, which is obviously a politicized court, which is kind of a sidekick of the UN, which, as you know, Charlie, is a highly politicized body which whitewashes the human rights violations of so many dictatorships around the world by giving them equal status with countries like the United States and Israel, who are democracies. There's no difference. And the ICC have come out and basically made an equivalency between the head of a terrorist organization that indiscriminately killed babies on October 7th and the democratically elected prime minister of a country that sanctifies freedoms and everything else that you Americans also hold dear. So we have a very, very dangerous situation. But I'll tell you what the good news is. The USA is not a signatory to the ICC, and neither is Israel. So the question is, do they really have jurisdiction to put out these arrest warrants? That's the question. Do they have jurisdiction? And if the United States really wants to be Israel's ally, what they will do is what Trump did and threaten them with sanctions. And once the United States puts their skin in the game, they cannot get away with what they've just done.
Very good. Well, Fleur Hassam Nahum, thank you so much for your time. I hope to visit you in Jerusalem sometime soon. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Love to have you. Thank you, Charlie.
This last weekend, J.D. Vance spoke in Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, and he packed it out at a Pennsylvania GOP dinner. And as we look at the polling and we look at the landscape, we look at where we need to win, it is becoming more and more clear that the heartland of the country, the blue wall, is going to be the key to the White House. Now, there's no guarantees. We're going to work our tail off here in Arizona. We're working our tail off in Georgia, work our tail off in Wisconsin and Michigan. Pennsylvania is looking more and more as if the entire White House could kind of come down to Pennsylvania. And I know I've asked you guys before, what do you think about a potential vice presidential Vance, J.D. Vance? Let me tell you what I like about J.D. Vance as vice president. And I am very biased. He's a friend of mine. He's an ultra patriot. He's wicked smart. He's a loyal family man. He's a best-selling author. He's a Marine. He's an accomplished businessman, an entrepreneur. He loves this country. He's been a terrific U.S. senator, and he is without a doubt the most MAGA U.S. senator that we have on the issue of Ukraine, the border, putting America first. J.D. Vance also speaks incredibly well to working class voters in the forgotten Rust Belt. J.D. Vance would be able to improve our chances to do a couple things. Number one, flip the Ohio Senate seat, the Bernie Moreno Senate seat. Number two, increase our chances to win Pennsylvania and win Michigan or win Wisconsin. Number three, broaden our appeal to young male voters and to suburban voters that have a lot of understandable anxiety economically and financially. I think J.D. Vance is my number one pick to become vice president. And there's other good ones out there. J.D. Vance would be excellent. And on top of all of that, he'd be great in the White House. Let's not forget, he would be an excellent, excellent vice president. He's unbelievably smart. He's super loyal. He would be a wonderful, wonderful accompaniment to Donald Trump. And let's be honest. If Trump, God forbid, were to have some lingering legal problems, or if something were to happen, J.D. Vance is the perfect heir apparent to the MAGA movement. The perfect heir apparent. Let's get to a piece of tape here. Let's play cut 33.
These poll numbers from CBS News are really intriguing. In Arizona, we're looking at the issues of the economy and inflation driving the vote there. 80%. 82% of voters in Arizona, 78%, they say those issues are top of mind. And that's what we're hearing from voters on the campaign trail.
Let me tell you why this is significant. It's a very low chance that they are now going to be able to make abortion the top issue in Arizona. This close to an election, we are now almost in election season, just so we are clear. Now, ballots go out like September 25th. We are 128 days out from ballots. A pollster once told me presidential races move at a glacial pace. They move. It's like moving an aircraft carrier. It takes a long time. A lot of this is going to be set in. This is why Joe Biden wants the early debate. This is why Joe Biden wants the debate in June, because he knows that once Labor Day sets in, it's a turnout game. And Republicans, we're improving our turnout operation. And especially in a high turnout environment, which we are entering into a very, very high turnout environment, a lot of upset people. And guess what? There's a lot of mail-in ballots all over the place, which increases turnout. J.D. Vance, it's a way for Trump to have a long-term legacy. He would do very well with young male voters. We could bring J.D. Vance on campus and he would be a rock star. And if he were to become VP, what a perfect segue in 2028. The key to the White House is through the Rust Belt. So we have to look at every single candidate. Do they improve or decrease our chances, increase or decrease our chances of winning in the Rust Belt? And some of the names out there, Marco Rubio, I think Marco would be okay, not great. There's a lot of concerns I have for him, but I wouldn't, you know, necessarily oppose it. Elise Stefanik, no way. J.D. Vance would be a stimulus and would be a net benefit in the region of the world we need to win the most. I see nothing but upsides. I see no downsides. And J.D. Vance would be in complete harmony with the president in his agenda. And you would not have a Mike Pence situation. You would have an actual loyal vice president. And perhaps the most articulate defender of MAGA, the most articulate spokesperson for our ideas. Blue collar, muscular class. He's a superstar. He grew up in that region of the world. He wrote a best-selling book, Hillbilly Elegy, all about that. So I like J.D. Vance more and more and more for Trump's vice president. What are your thoughts? Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.